Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Latham, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick. Yeah, it was an interesting session last time. So Mr. Delgado came back around and is still looking for when we are going to give him the horn and everything else so that he can suck the energy out of him to make himself. And I think he has like some people, his own little cult, whatever, immortal, because that's a useful thing and will be good for humanity, apparently. Roger did manage to question him a little bit, and he has someone higher up where he learned to do this from. It's all a bit fishy, but he's still expecting to get everything from us. The children of tranquility are also looking to get the horn and everything from us. Ms. Throckmorton eventually admitted to them that she broke the horn, but we did give them the remnants of the horn as well as the statue, so those things are gone off to whatever evil machinations the children of tranquility, I keep wanting to do it, are going to do with them. Meanwhile, over at Mrs. Lewis's house, that all resolved fairly quickly and easily. Again, Ms. Throckmorton, being a favorite of Bast, just dealt with it. She did get the eye from Mrs. Lewis. I'm assuming that was given to the Children of Tranquility as well. I think the overall vibe there was that we just gave them everything we had. A couple weeks pass, during which the PCs received some sanity and rolled ticks and healed back up. Yay for us. We attempted to resolve Mr. Kelly's insanity, but we've given up on that because he's too deep in it, so that's fine. Return to the museum. There have been more thefts from the museum. You would think at some point that they would enhance their security, but I guess not. Some gold coins were stolen, a casket, a mace, and possibly most importantly, the Seal of Naboo was thefted. We don't know when the seal itself was stolen because someone replaced the real seal with a fake seal. And after some questioning, we narrowed it down to just a few days wherein Walter Means, the guy who was studying the seal, he knew that the real one was there on whatever date, and then he found that a fake one was there on some days later. So there is a window of time during which the seal could have been stolen. Mr. Kelly is quite certain that the thieves are coming in from the subway. The rest of us are a bit dubious about that. However, Mr. Bluffstone, the president of our club, happens to tell us that he recently purchased from an antique shop a casket, the description of which matches the one that was stolen from the museum. And some of us, Roger and Miss Throckmorton, are off to the antique shop, Hodges and Barstow, from where Mr. Bluffstone purchased the presumably stolen casket, assuming that it's the same one, while Ms. Weiss and Mr. Kelly are off to wander the subways looking for the secret entrance that Mr. Kelly believes is into the museum.
That's some fine recapping. Fine recapping. We should just make you the permanent recapper.
You are too kind, sir.
No, not kind enough. Let's start with the subway folk.
I will go on the antiquing.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask that. So what we have is Bertie and Anthony heading to the subway.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. You can certainly make your way over to the station where you met the Children of Tranquility a couple times now. It's not a problem to get in there. Get to the station. You could head down. What's your plan when you get into the subway station? Or is that where you're going? I guess I should ask that.
Well, I'll first head down to the subway station with the with my maps and basically sit down and sort of look at the direction, that sort of stuff. Looking at where I think the closest or best path, best area that we're likely to find a door, a thing to get into the museum.
I mean, so there's no... You have these maps...
Service hatches, service...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm basically looking at in terms of not because... Yeah, not exactly... the best place underneath, because these pass underneath the museum, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, and looking at where the stuff has been going, has been disappearing in the museum, basically looking for something that's around close, and I'll basically start wandering down. I'll keep an eye out for trains, of course, but would have to go into the tunnels, I'd say.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is a staff person there, you know, selling tickets and whatnot. There's no automated things, so people have to buy tickets these days. So how would you like to get by this station staff person? Are you stealthing?
Oh, we need to buy tickets. Yeah, no, we need to buy tickets and go into the subway. So
are you riding the subway? The underground?
No, but you buy it on top so you can go down, and you know, once we're down, we're probably going to try to as Gary was saying, trying to navigate from here, where is the museum? What is a more likely place where there's going to be an entrance? If there's an entrance on the tunnels of the subway, and then go head in that direction.
Yeah, what I'm saying though is the staff person isn't on top; he's down below.
Well,
the ticket seller is down below and has a view of people buying tickets, people waiting by the tracks.
Oh, okay.
Maybe when his back is turned, sort of just basically hang as close to the end of the platform, and then like when he turns away, jump down and scoot down through.
I'd be fine with either a stealth or a luck roll on that.
Okay. Individual luck.
You can decide, are you going to stealth it or luck it?
Okay.
Luck. I'm stealth.
0-3.
Nice.
I rolled an 18. My stealth is 45. Nice. So that's a hard success.
So you both sort of wait until the right moment to sort of move across. If the 80s have taught us anything, there's you can jump down and walk next to the tracks. There's a little sidewalky thing down there. Space so that if a train was to come by, you wouldn't be smushed like a bug. I'm assuming you're going to walk towards the museum, and it's not too far, about 50 yards or so, when you hit a maintenance tunnel.
That seems to be a maintenance entrance. Let's give it a try. I'll go in.
Yeah, so there was some lights along the track. Mm-hmm. There are no lights here. Do you have flashlights?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
No. I mean, we knew we were coming to the tunnels, right? So flashlights and boots to avoid rats.
Torches, I guess, is what you'd call them where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You can make your way along the tunnel. Can you each give me a spot hidden?
Yes. Hard success, actually.
Okay. As you're making your way along the tunnel, you see that someone has moved some debris to sort of loosely cover what looks to be a tunnel heading out from the maintenance tunnel.
Mr. Kelly, over here.
Yep. Head over. I mean, I've got a normal success, so.
We couldn't hear you for a while there, Gary.
Oh, sorry. I must have been muted.
Yeah. All right. So the both of you see it. It's not, you know, it's not that many people coming down here. So, it's a fairly narrow areaway. It doesn't look like there's no extra space in here as you'd expect if someone was, you know, thought this was going to be used for real maintenance purposes. At some point, you pop out into a section of a Roman sewer. You can see there's sort of water flowing through it. It's not sewer water, but, you know, it's just a low point where there's water sort of moving through it. And can you each give a listen roll?
91, no.
Normal success.
Okay. So this tunnel sort of ends, but you hear, with a normal success, you hear what you think is sounds of shovels, maybe, and pickaxes, maybe off to the north a bit.
What is it, Mr. Kelly?
Someone's digging? Shovels, pickaxe. Do you think they're trying to dig through a wall? Let's go quietly.
Okay.
So basically being as quiet as we can in that direction.
Sure. You move down a little bit in the north and you can see there's another hole in the wall. There's no attempt to cover this up. Just there. Mm. And again, it looks like it's just sort of carved the wall, and it sort of leads into another sort of be an abandoned tunnel, and you can hear off in the distance again the sound of it's definitely digging of some sort. Can you each give me a spot hidden?
80 or almost spot hidden.
Yeah, 18. So that'd be at least a hard success. Yes, or certain extreme success. I'll just keep it as hard.
Yeah. As you're sort of looking ahead where you're going to go to, your eyes sort of cast down there. Anthony, and you realize that the tunnel floor in front of you sort of glitters a little bit. There's just scores of what looks to be like tiny crystals of some sort, like pieces of quartz or some sort of something like that just sort of glistens out when the light hits it.
Okay. I'll sort of bend down and take a feel of the areas with it. Does it like come off, or does it look like it's hard in the floor? Or
the no, these looks like someone has taken some sort of tiny rocks and spread them out throughout the width of the tunnel. It goes for maybe 8 or 9 feet into the tunnel.
I'll put my hand up to stop.
I'll stop.
Yeah, and go, look.
What is going on?
Look. And I'll point to the ground. I don't know, maybe they're hoping that anyone trying to sneak up on them will kick the stones or knock them and make noise. Just be very careful walking. So continue on moving very slowly.
Okay. Let's stop there and go to the antiquing.
Gracie always pays off.
What's that?
Gracie pays off.
Yeah. So you are headed to the antique shop?
Yes.
Maud and Roger? And Agatha?
Yes.
I see we have Oswald. Do you want to go antiquing, Oswald?
Oh, certainly.
Excellent.
I'm so glad you two are feeling better. Always fun.
Yeah, so it's not a problem to find this location. It's a, you know, it's, some of you have been sort of doing enough things in the world that you're able to sort of locate the shop. And of course, your erstwhile president is happy to tell you about where to find it. It's, you know, the shop has the name Hodges and Barstow on top of a board that's above its windows. As you look inside, you can see that there's, you know, through the window, you can see miscellaneous furniture and, you know, art pieces and whatnot. Some of them will appear to be somewhat valuable. All of the prices are high.
Well, let's go in. It does seem odd. I wonder if they're stealing a bunch of things to cover up, or if they're stealing under the cover of the general chaos, and they're just interested in money.
A bit of both.
The people we've been dealing with would not be stealing for money. They would be stealing because they want specific things. So perhaps they're stealing a lot of things just to hide what they really want. So what's more interesting, perhaps, is what's not here. Although some things may have been stolen already. I mean, sorry, sold already.
Well, let's go have a look.
So let's go in, yes.
All right.
I assume we have a list of the gold coins, the casket, the mace, and the seal. We have a list of all those things and maybe some description.
You do.
And the casket's gone.
The casket we know is gone, yeah. 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 Quite a troop we are.
So the four of you can walk in.
Mm. Good morning.
Yes. How can I help you?
A bit of shopping.
Excellent. Anything in particular, lovely, ma'am?
Lovely things about your shop.
Yes, the president of our club found an interesting casket here. He highly recommended your shop.
Oh, excellent. Well, we're always happy to have word of mouth advertising.
I'll start wandering about the store while they're talking, and I guess the mace seems sort of the easiest thing to look for.
Thank you.
sorry, what is that?
There we go. It was Rachel somehow, but she's taking up truck driving, I think.
Sounds like. Put nothing past Maud. So you're able to walk around. There doesn't seem to be any maces of any sort lying around. There certainly are various coins and whatnot.
Ooh. Okay. A coin was stolen, right?
Several gold coins.
Well, see if they have any. Maybe. Well, did any of the coins get taken?
Gold coins of Heracles? Maybe mm-hmm. Greek?
Yeah. Look around the coins, see what they got.
Yeah. I mean, they have a wide variety of them, but there certainly do seem to be, you know, I don't know how much Greek you know, but at this point you've been hanging around with this rough characters that you've probably picked up a little bit. I mean, there's certainly some that look much older than others. Some point the shopkeeper will walk over. Are you interested in those, sir? Do you collect coins?
No, just interested. What are the most unique ones you have?
Well, I've got, and he will sort of talk about, you know, some from, you know, from very old English ones. He'll talk about these, and eventually he will sort of get around to talking about the, you know, I recently received these Greek coins and talk about them.
And any of them, do we even know what this coin looks like that meets the description of what was taken?
I mean, you were given sort of descriptions of them. I'm happy to sort of say you asked for sort of what catalog pieces they had.
Right. I mean, do any of those coins meet the description?
You know, if you ask, he will eventually say, oh, yes, these ones right here, these gold coins were minted in Carthage, 1610 or so, somewhere in that range.
Where did you acquire these?
Oh, I have an independent dealer who brings things by every now and then.
Recently?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
I will, if you're done, mm-hmm. keep going. I'm interested in ancient weaponry. I'm writing a new book. I'm Dame Agatha, and I have a mystery that I think I may set in an old castle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious what sort of old arms you might have that I could look at.
Oh, nothing up here, but let's see. In the back room, I have a saber that was apparently used.
Something that might be that might have crushed a person's skull. I feel like that would be a very dramatic piece of story.
Oh, I mean, would it have to actually be a piece of war? I mean, I have one that's more of a decorative item. It's, you know, it's,
oh, that would be fantastic. You mean a weapon that's not really a weapon?
Right. It's designed to look like one. It certainly has the things, but it's so built so flimsily. I don't know, that might be fun.
They could find it broken. Yes, could I look at that? What is it?
Oh, yes, of course. He walks out back and he brings out a box and opens it up and opens some velvet. And yes, indeed, there's a horned human head on top of a mace, gold and silver decorative around it. It's clearly used as a for a royal ceremony or religious ceremony or something like that, some sort of processional rather than any particular combatiness.
What can you tell me about this? This seems, I'd like to put it in its appropriate context, obviously.
Oh, I'm not entirely sure yet. That's why it's not out.
Interesting. Fascinating. So you're working on it. You're doing some research.
I am. Yes. A lot of the time that's what happens is I receive an item that there's not a lot of information on, and I really enjoy the part of my job where I get to figure things out.
Fascinating. Is this something that takes you days or weeks or perhaps years?
Well, it depends on the item. Nothing years. If it starts to move into years, I sort of give up and stop there. I've got to keep things moving.
Of course.
Can't have things sitting on the shelf.
Who do you consult on these things?
Oh, just myself. I've been doing this for a while. I have a degree in archaeology and worked for a while at a few different digs, a few different museums. It's actually why I'm here. You don't make a lot of money doing these sort of stores, but it's a interesting way to be interested in your work.
Well, I would be very interested in perhaps acquiring this piece. I do need to get my hair done. I can't get it now, and you apparently have some research to do, and it will certainly be much more tempting once some of its provenance has been established.
Absolutely so.
Perhaps, yes. Yeah. So please don't sell it, if you would, and I'll, when should I plan to come back?
Oh, I would say be able to give you a little bit better information in, well, I can put this at the top of the pile, a week or so, something in that range.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yes, that would be very nice. I will see you around the end of the month.
Oh, lovely.
I'm just wandering the shop. I don't expect to find the seal here, but I'm going to look for it or look for anything else that looks Naboo-ish.
Yeah, I mean, everything is laid out so that one could find it. So there's no need for spot hiddens or the like here. It's not a big shop, and you look around a little bit and don't see anything that looks like the seal of Naboo as it was described to you.
Before we leave, I might whisper to Oswald, should we press him for the name of his supplier? Or should we just have the cure come back?
I was thinking we should leave and send the police in, no?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he's got stolen goods. They can just go.
Surely he'd be much more likely to give the police the name of the supplier than to us.
I nod in agreement.
He will sort of be disappointed that you're not buying anything. I assume you're not buying anything, but that's fine. And, He, that's fine.
Can I do a little insight on him? Psychology, I think we call it. What I'm curious about is whether he sort of gets suspicious about the fact that we came and looked at these things that just happened to come recently. But I failed, so don't worry about it. I guess we'll leave, unless Roger has some business here.
Yeah, what's Roger doing?
Roger was wandering with the store with the others, just looking for stuff. Considering bracing Mr. Barstow, but since the others seemed hesitant to do so, perhaps Roger will follow their lead in this one case.
Wow.
Roger in a crowd is different than Roger by himself. It's fascinating. Roger by himself does breaking and entering on a regular basis and confronts people about things. Roger in a crowd says,
Just so.
Shall we just go to the telephone box and call Mr. Longton?
At the museum? Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess that makes sense to call the museum rather than the police directly. Yes, yes.
Oh. You found some of the items?
Yes, if you come to this particular antique shop, I think you might find some of the pieces. Perhaps you'd like to bring a constable with you.
Oh, that's Godfrey? Mr. Barstow? Do you introduce yourselves? He introduce himself? Bird-like man.
Oh, very much. Sure.
tall man, balding, long limbs. That's yeah. He's clearly describing the person you talk to. Oh, that's surprising. He's used to work here at the museum many, many, many years ago. Perhaps I'll go and speak to him myself first. There's no need to bring in the police right away, I don't suppose. Perhaps this can all be resolved peacefully.
Be careful.
Maybe I'll bring my security man along.
It would be interesting where he got these. We're interested.
I will definitely let you know. I assume I can leave a message for you at the club again?
Yes.
Of course.
Just so. Again, thank you for this very quick work. Very quick work. He will hang up. What will you do next? Talk amongst yourselves. We'll go to the other group for a brief moment. So back in the tunnel, you all are you're making your way through the tunnel here. You're just trying not to make a lot of noise as you walk through the tunnel. Is that the plan?
Yes.
Very careful with every step.
Yeah. With like the stones and that sort of stuff. Basically trying to make sure that we don't like kick the stones and make a lot of noise.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not expecting this for some reason. So you walk in. You're just trying to be careful not to kick the stones, but you're not sort of taking any particular attention to what's going on. It's a couple steps in, and you can each give me a sanity roll.
Okay, I rolled a 61. So
I failed.
That'll be a fail for me as well.
Oh, that's interesting. It's a D10.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, Sean?
Well, if you look in the notes, you'll see that, you know, as you sort of step on one of these crystals, this form appears as if summoned. It's not holy ape, and it's not holy insect. Its hide is hung loosely upon its frame. Its head swings back and forth. Its forepaws extended, its talons, its long spread talons, and it has no facial expression, and yet you are, just from the body language, you are sure that this creature has a murderous intent towards you.
Oh, I lost five. I lost five.
Great. So. And Bertie, how many did you lose?
Five as well.
Well, that's great storytelling. Thank you.
Oh, glad you.
Maybe you could each give me an idea roll.
16. I successfully made my idea roll.
Uh-huh. And I also passed, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, this is an old-fashioned hoedown here. Gotta break out the table now. Would you like to roll or to enact your insanity, or tell me what your insanity is?
Roll. I would like to
give
it to you.
Okay.
Give it a chance.
So all right, well,
okay. So why don't you roll me a
D100?
D100.
As you gain a new mania.
94.
Oh no, not you, Birdie. Hold on. This is
34.
34. So what that means is, Anthony, you just start grabbing at your own skin and just sort of picking at it. Something just not right about it. You've got dermatillomania. That could be distracting for a brief moment or two. Birdie, what did you roll on your D10?
94. Oh, and my D10.
Your D10. Your
first. Another D10. Yeah. So D10.
Oh, it is. You both rolled D10s. Oh, and 94. Oh, this is perfect for Birdie. You have theomania. You are quite sure that you are a god.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what's his insanity?
Yeah. Yeah. So each of you can roll me a D10 to see how long this lasts for.
All right. Ooh, 7.
8.
I'm doomed.
Perfect. This is going to be bad. What do we have for dexterities? Birdie, you are up first.
Mm-hmm.
How does Birdie's I am a god manifest itself?
So
this is like the first time Birdie's been out doing anything too. It's fantastic.
So I will just raise both my hands and start sending this creature back to hell. Go back to hell. I command you. I'm the Lord of libraries.
All right. That's fine. We'll go to Anthony next. Anthony, what would you like to do?
So, how extreme can the dermatillomania? I was just actually about to Google it.
How what?
How extreme can it be, the dermatillomania?
Well, the way that the rules say this, and I hate to bring up the rules in our game, but nevertheless. What it says is the investigator seeks to indulge in their new mania for the next 1d10 rounds. So, I guess.
It's only picking, scratching, all that sort of thing. My character will probably be then just focus on that for the moment, like scratching his arms and neck and shoulders.
Why don't you each give me a luck roll now?
78, definitely not a success.
Birdie?
I pass.
Okay. The creature reaches out with its claws towards you, Anthony. Mm-hmm. Would you like to roll a dodge roll?
Yeah, would or I get a...
You could fight back, I guess, if you would rather do that.
Probably at this stage. I think it's going to touch me. Yeah, I'll try fighting back. Yeah, okay. I'll be shouting at it to keep its hands off me.
All right.
So I got a normal success on my fight back brawl.
All right. So as it first tries to grab on you, you succeed. Can you just give a brawl damage?
Brawl damage is D3. 1.
Mr. Kelly, leave this to me.
All right. So that's 1. Cool. It's going to try with its other claw. Do you want to also fight back on that one?
I think you can only fight back once.
Oh, okay. Well,
then. You can dodge.
But would you like to dodge then, Mr. Kelly?
Yes, he will try to dodge.
Okay.
Oh, the zeros.
Well,
that's not good.
He still misses you, though, so that's fine. But I will say that when you struck at it before with your fist and you hit it, you got the sense that it just didn't do anything, that its insect-like covering was almost served as an armor of sorts. Top of the round, Birdie.
I will super punch this creature.
Perfect. All right. It will fight back as you do that.
Okay.
Against God?
Oh, I get a hard success on my punch. It's probably a 1d4. No damage.
You succeed. Go ahead and roll. The d3, I think. Punching.
Punching is a d3. Okay, let me try that. Oh, one. Perfect.
Yep. Mr. Kelly. Do you like to attack
it? Do
you like to keep poking at your skin?
My good friend here just said leave it to him, and he's like stepped in all, so I'm going to be basically staggering back, scratching my arms, that sort of stuff, and staggering back going, I couldn't hurt it. Maybe you can do something.
All right.
It's okay. You're only human.
Yeah, well, that's what would you like to do as it reaches for you with its claws, Birdie? Is that to fight back or dodge?
I'll fight back, of course.
All right. How'd you do?
Had success.
All right. He failed, so go ahead and roll.
1d3. It is a 2 this time. 2 points.
Okay. And it will reach for you with its other claw. Would you like to dodge?
No, I will just grab it with my hand to fight back.
Oh, we just actually decided to use the rules and say that you can only do that once.
Oh, okay.
Yep. God, this guy sucks. top of the round. This is round top of round three.
Yeah.
Yeah, Birdie, what would you like to do now?
Punching again.
All right, it will fight back.
0-1.
Well, that beats its hard success. Go ahead and roll for damage.
So let's see. 2 points again.
Okay. Anthony, what would you like to do?
He's not probably not actually doing much. He'll probably be staggering back, keeping looking because look, it's missing Bernie. So yeah. Bernie must have something right. Must have some sort of protection or something against this creature.
It's nice to have a character justify their fear so that Randall's in danger for a change. it's going to attack with you with one claw, Randall. Would you like to fight back or dodge?
Fight back.
Okay.
Failure this time.
It also had a failure, and then would you like to dodge as it goes at you again?
So I cannot fight back, right? So, I'm fighting the creature, so I will dodge this time. Failure.
Success.
Well, that was quite a graduate student we had.
Let's see. 8 points of damage.
Drop into the ground with 0 points left.
So you don't drop to the ground, it holds you.
Oh, ooh, that's better. Because you're a god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony, is there anything you're going to do?
Let's see. Probably there's nothing he can do. He will basically scream and run away.
Okay. Perhaps as you glance over your back, as you're running away, you'll see the creature holding Birdie just disappear, blink out the same way he came in.
No. I came in too late to help your last character. And now I've left you at this character.
I have very bad luck following people in this party.
At least we know it's not just Roger now.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody that's out to get you. Well, why don't you let me know what you might be thinking of for a new character.
Okay.
Anthony, you're just running away into the darkness?
Yep, from basically in the direction that we came from.
Yeah, you run for some period of time and, you know, your 7 rounds or 5 more or 3 more rounds are up.
Yep.
You recover your sanity, your skin feels fine.
But I still see maps. He'll basically work his way back out of the sewers to try to get back to the club so he can tell what's happened to their research. It was the research dude, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of emotional attachment there.
My character definitely has an emotional attachment with that character.
Oh, really? All right. So go ahead and roll your sanity.
65, so it's a fail.
Great. Go lose a D3. Yeah, some emotional character, but...
3.
All right.
Maybe the maps here on your skin.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I'll be looking at my skin as I'm walking back. I've, like, scratched and gouged at these maps. It must have been something important. Thank you, Rachel.
To help.
So I'm going to say that it takes you all around the same amount of time to get back to the club. Anthony arrives without Birdie. Are you telling them all the story there, Anthony, including your running away, or how much of the story are you telling?
Oh, I barely made it out with my life. That creature was trying to get at me, and then our good friend, Bertie threw himself in the way and told me to run, to flee, to let you guys know what was happening.
I don't normally make players do fast talk rolls when talking to other players, but it's really tempting. All right.
Hey, look, it doesn't really matter whether or not they believe him. One thing they do know is he's insane.
Yeah. at some point in the afternoon, after
thing that we did while we were chatting amongst ourselves was that we decided that we would like to talk to Mr. Longton and see if at least one of us can be with him when he goes to speak to Mr. Barstow. I think there's some concern that we might not otherwise be able to find the name of the person.
So you just call him back and say, could we come there? Or could one of us be there?
Yeah.
He's fine with that. Who would you like to have as your representative? Or, I mean, he's not, probably doesn't want a crowd there, but he's certainly not against more than one of you being there.
Well, it was definitely Maud's idea. So
I know, but Maud is not subtle or persuasive or, yeah.
I would happily go with you. I don't know if I'm either of those things, but only charming occasionally.
Yeah, stay outside and keep watch.
All right. Roger, what will you be doing?
That is an interesting question. So I've already given up on Mr. Kelly as a patient. Take no responsibility for that. Probably just spending some time at the club.
Okay.
I don't know that I really have anything else. They have the antique shop covered. I'm sure they don't need my help. So, yeah.
Okay. At some point around the time you arrive back at the club, Mr. Anthony arrives without your graduate student in tow and relates a tale to you of heroism on the part of the graduate student. You can make your own professional opinion as to the veracity therein and thereof, but at some point you are a medical professional.
Well, Mr. Kelly clearly needs to be committed. I am tempted to want to do that, but I wouldn't do that to a fellow PC. Although we will strongly advise that Mr. Kelly commit himself. I do have a good doctor at the local facility. I understand there's at least one room with a bed open. Or at least there was some weeks ago anyway.
And perhaps you can learn to draw cats.
I am curious about these stepped on a crystal and this thing appeared, do you say?
That is true.
Just a random crystal in the subway?
No, okay, so we heard digging, like picks, shovels, that sort of stuff. Someone was digging, so we followed down this path. We went through along a Roman road some stage, I think. But yeah, went through this area and I noticed this. So the whole ground in front of us was covered in this loose crystal, these loose crystals. I think stepping on it triggered. You know how that creature that attacked me briefly and then disappeared when I killed the person that was holding you hostage?
So in the subway, there's a Roman road and some miners.
Well, not in the subway. They were off. Basically, we went through a maintenance, and I'll pull out the map again. Went through this maintenance back here and then through this path along here. Oh, just wait. Oh, okay. Interesting. I've got this. So I was scratching myself, and I seem to have scratched in this map. So I'll start sketching out the map from my arm. It could be important as well. But yeah, so we went through along here, heard the noise, then this creature, basically when stepped up, this creature appeared and attacked us.
Would you like me to call? I can't find the doctor's name.
Oh, I don't remember. It's been weeks now.
Whatever. Would you like me to call the doctor for you? I would be more than happy to.
Alan Lawrence.
There we are, Dr. Lawrence. He's a good man. It is a lovely facility, a perfect thing for someone such as yourself to some rest, recover yourself a bit, perhaps.
Oh, I'll tell you tomorrow. If I want to, yeah. I mean, these creatures, I mean, this is like the second time the creatures just appeared out of nowhere. And they're like hideous. I mean, this one looked like a cross between a gorilla and a cockroach.
Well, perhaps you should take Mr. Nichols with you, and Mr. Nichols can dispatch the thing.
Let us jump back to the Hodge and Barstow antique dealer shop. You're all sort of something waiting out line. Well, no, I just don't see Gary committing himself, so, or his character. At some point, Patrick Lungton shows up. He's got his security man with him. Oh, yeah. Good to see you all. Good to see you all. And he proceeds to start to head inside.
I will go in with him.
Indeed.
The store clerk, he clearly recognizes Patrick. Patrick, what can I do? What a pleasant surprise! And he sort of looks at the two of you, and the question that had you rolled your psychology roll, he wouldn't have necessarily made any. You wouldn't have necessarily got anywhere, but you don't even have to roll right now. Like, he's sort of seeing all the pieces fall in place now. Like, Patrick says, well,
I do apologize for our underhandedness, I say charmingly.
Oh.
We don't accuse you, but we would like to know who you bought these from or who is pawning stolen goods off through you.
Oh, which goods were stolen? Is it the ones you asked about?
Quite.
We let Mr. Longton ID them.
Yeah,
And he definitely. Oh yes, this is the coins that were stolen here. Here, Godfrey, you can see I've got the catalog here. And brings it out, and Godfrey sort of resignedly looks at it. Oh yeah, no, it's definitely the same piece. Patrick, so I hear you have a ornate mace, and he gets a little bit more crestfallen. Oh, Patrick, that was rather expensive, but brings it out, and Patrick again brings out the catalog, and you can see Mr. Barstow getting even more sort of slumped shouldery. And
let's try to bring the person who foisted these stolen goods off on you to justice.
Yes, I think the real concern here is that he stole a piece that I suspect did not end up with you. I'll describe the seals. And that, unfortunately, that's really the piece that I think we need to find. Is it true that he did not give that to you?
Oh, no, I don't have that piece at all. But I can tell you who my
wonderful.
Yes. He was a large man. He's introduced himself as Stanley Glover. Patrick sort of scrunches up his face a bit. He had brought in these pieces for me. He said that he had recently acquired them as part of an estate sale. Don't know. I guess I was just naive, but he seemed to know a lot of the other dealers in town, so I sort of believed in him, and he gave me a good price for them.
Is Delgado a large man?
No, Garlado is thin and athletic.
Yeah. Does this description match anybody we saw at the party, perhaps?
It does not.
But Longton's face scrunched up. Do I get a sense that he recognized this name?
He clearly had a reaction to the name.
Ha. Huh. I'll wait till we leave to ask him about it.
And, I wish I had more information for you. I assume you want the items back, Patrick? No reward or anything for bringing them back? Oh, no, we'll Godfrey, we'll figure this all out. Don't you worry about it. You get the distinct sense that Patrick does not want to figure this out and just wants his pieces back. But
anyone should get a reward. Gosh darn it, it's not him.
Seriously, the reward is we'll keep the horn. I look to the side.
The security man stays inside. Starts to have a conversation. Yates, I believe his name was. And Patrick steps outside and says, pulls off his glasses and starts cleaning them off. I'm not surprised. This Glover character has been known to be a fence for goods in the past. Things that are stolen end up, you know, through him to other places.
So we're going to have to get him then to let us know who might have. He probably is not the thief, is what you're saying.
Oh no! He's just the almost the middleman, if you will.
The fence, yes. Well, do you know where we might find him? I think that would be our next step, unfortunately.
Well, I have heard. My understanding is that he spends a fair bit of time at a local pub.
Of course,
the King's Head.
King's Head. And do you know where that is, more or less?
And he will give you directions to sort of get you close enough there. Yep.
Well, Maud and Oswald, do you think we're going to go? We should go brace Mr. Stanley Glover.
Yeah,
I'm excited about using this new word.
Why not?
All right, it'll take you a little bit to get over there. Roger and Anthony, is there things you'd like to do in your afternoon?
I think. I think Anthony may decide to go back to his home and like have a shower and just basically hide out. Yeah, and hide out for a bit. He says he'll tell Robert that he'll come back tomorrow when the others get back.
Okay. Roger, anything you wish to do with your afternoon?
I don't think so. I am at least mildly curious about this whole digging crystals in the, I almost said basement, subway, whatever thing. But Roger's not going to go underground. So
yeah, well, in the
I got nothing. At the
description
moment.
Of the narrow tunnel is probably what I put you off too. Rendell, do you have a sense of who you'd like might like to play next?
Not really. I don't know. Maybe we can discuss it offline and find out how to get the character that can work with me.
Well, there certainly can be a club member, and it sounds like Roger is sitting around this afternoon. Perhaps this would be enough time for you to sort of give some thought to that and approach Roger. Yeah.
Oh, hey, how are you doing? May I sit with you?
The club spelunking expert.
Perfect. just back from a hunting trip.
Hunting and spelunking. This could not have worked out better.
Yeah, I'll go with a hunter. Adventurer.
Those tend to last a little longer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm done with librarians.
And librarians and graduate students. They're
exactly.
Paper thin. Perhaps you would be interested in a little urban exploration.
Oh, really? Is it exciting? And all for excitement.
I am definitely given to understand that there is some excitement involved, perhaps some illegal activity that could be discovered and reported upon to the appropriate authorities.
I look around just to make sure no one is listening. I'm interested. Yes, yes, totally.
Tell me more. I will give him the story of Kelly and Weiss minus the crazy alien stuff and the death.
Nice. So let me work out my character. But yeah, that's what is going to happen.
Are you telling him, is that the only part of all this you're telling him? Are you telling him about looking for items? Are you telling him about?
Nope. Just that. Nope.
Just putting him right to his death. Perfect. All right.
I go back to my suggestion that Roger is off to kill us all.
It was Roger the whole time.
The master cultist.
Go ahead and roll me a D20 if you a D100 if you would, Randall.
Okay.
It's just how many days you're going to live.
Hours, but okay.
Maybe hours, yeah.
76.
What was that?
76.
Okay. Carry on. All right. So, yes, you will hear more about strange things.
Okay.
Undoubtedly, you'll ask why they're going into the tunnels, but that's a problem you'll have to work out with Roger. In any case, the rest of you can certainly make your way over to the King's Head. In the corner of the King's Head is a large man. He has pince-nez spectacles on his nose. Dressed in a remarkably uninteresting suit, sort of appears to not want to draw any attention to himself at all, and then standing, sitting in a chair next to him is Ugg is probably the right way to think about it. He's definitely, see his picture in the notes. He's definitely a bit rough. He's dressed in a suit. Fits a little tightly around his upper arms, which are bulging. Hmm. It looks like he's been in quite a few fights in his day. Hmm. Two of them seem very comfortable in not talking to each other.
Do they appear to be waiting for a third, or like if there's an empty chair pulled up or something?
Go ahead and give me a psychology.
No,
Oh dear, what did I do with Maud? Yes, I make it. Just. Woo!
They give you the same impression that Godfrey Hodges did when you walked into his store, like, hi, how can I help you? Like, that they're waiting for, they're not waiting for an individual, but they're open for business.
We understand that you've been taken advantage of.
Sorry, who's going up to him? Is it just Maud? Is it Maud and Dem? Is Oswald there too? Who's doing the, who's going
I forward? Said I was going to wait outside and I'll keep watch.
Oh, for this I one will... too? Okay, that's fine.
Well, I will definitely accompany Maud.
Okay. Ladies. Oh, lovely. How
gentlemen.
Yeah, please, Chester, get them a seat. Large man walks over, grabs a chair from a nearby table, doesn't really ask the people, hey, is this chair taken? Just takes the table.
Yes. And the large man is the small man relative to the large man who's Mr. Grover. Well, Clover.
Grover looks like a large man in the sense of
the fat sense. The
Rogers, yes.
Yes. The other guy is muscly.
What is Rogers' size, by the way?
It is 75.
This guy is slightly larger than Roger.
Mr. Glover is.
Mr. Glover is, yes. How can I help you, ladies?
Well, I was saying, I believe that you've been taken advantage of.
His companions sort of laughs a little of that. Oh, and how is that?
That someone passed stolen goods to you to sell. And surely businessmen like you would not fence stolen goods knowingly.
Are you saying this in a...
Wink, nudge,
or are you...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all sincerity or
no sincerity whatsoever, but you know, right. We know you passed off stolen goods, but we're happy to push the blame on someone else.
He sort of looks at you and sizes you up a bit and says, oh yes, it would be a shame if I was to be dealing with illegal goods, yes.
Oh, especially yes, antiquities from the British Museum. It would just...
I wouldn't know. No. Yes. Is there something of interest to you?
Yes. Yes, we have quite a dilemma. We believe that this bad person may have given you several things, but kept something very important to him or perhaps herself. And that's really what we're interested in.
And even just a name, an address, so that the authorities can deal with these malfeasers.
Interesting.
Oh, can I get you gentlemen a drink?
Oh, no, of course. Chester, drinks. What are you ladies drinking?
Just some tea, please.
Looks a little disappointed. Maud?
I'll have a pint.
Yes, Chester gets up and walks away and comes back. Well, I'm afraid I'm unaware of any items that you might have.
Well, so there was a shipment that included a mace and some gold coins and a whatever the thing was, the
casket.
There we go. Surely that did not escape your notice. And well, there should have been a gold seal, not a gold seal, a wax seal, some kind of a seal.
It's stone, more like pottery.
A stone seal with it. And I assume that that was not part of the goods that you were asked to find a good home for?
I guess someone misrepresented the source of some items that were given to me, but I'm...
Of course, yes.
Not aware of any... People often bring me things. They know I know people, but I'm unaware of a seal of any sort.
Yes, so we need to talk to the person. Whoever had these other items definitely has or had the seal, and we really need to find it. I'm wondering if you could help us.
And your connection with all this is, I'm sorry, what? Are you with the police? Are you
no.
private investigators?
Sure, that seems like a very good description for now.
Well.
I sort of looked to Maud a little like,
It's easy to be subtle this way, lady investigators.
Well, I do know, I am aware of, I certainly had some items of the description you had that were given to me. I could certainly, talk about who gave those to me, but I'm unaware of any seal.
Exactly. Yes. No. I suspect this person kept the seal for himself and has it.
Right. Seems unlikely. The items. Give me charm or persuade or some rolls here.
Sure. I was going to give him money, but let's start with charm. 26 is a hard success on charm.
Okay. Maud is not charming or anything, but maybe she's just drinking her beer.
Which is charming in its own right.
Well, I don't know why the people that sold the items to me would be interested in anything of a that sort, but I could certainly give you the names of the people that sold the items to me, and we could go from there.
That's all we could ask for, really, yes.
Excellent. Have you heard of the Gear Brothers?
We have now?
Have I?
No. Unless any of you have been involved in thievery in the past. There are a couple of lads who make their own way and have their own contacts. Most of the time, the things seem to be above board. They make trades for things that people don't realize are valuable and give them to me. But yes,
they work for hire. Somebody might have hired them to acquire some goods and then said, for example, you can do what you want with these, but give me this one particular thing.
You had a hard success on your charm?
Yeah.
What I will say, and without any risk of incriminating myself, is that it certainly would not astonish me to hear that someone had paid these lads some money to go get some items, and if the way you're describing this sounds like maybe they grabbed a little bit extra off the top.
Right, of course.
Have been what they were hired for, because obviously they sold them to me.
Right.
You say these were taken from the museum. Certainly, if You've gone through the effort of breaking into the museum to take one item. Grabbing a few others probably is not outside of the realm of the possible.
Yes, some significant work.
Gentlemen, you've been so helpful.
Yes, thank you. I don't know if you feel that your information should be recompensed in some way, or if this is just part of the general business world.
Well, I'm assuming you have some contact with the museum. A kind word from you about how obviously I had no idea that these were stolen items would be worth more to me than any amount of money you might have.
I believe we have a fine understanding.
Indeed. Jester, a piece of paper, please. Jester pulls out a piece of paper and a pen and writes something down. Mr. Glover hands it to you, says, this is the Gear family home, their address.
Oh, wow, thank you. I sip my tea.
And he will, continue to chat with you as long as you're there and move on to other topics, talk about different antique dealers in town and, whatever else. He seems to have a wide range of knowledge of, things going on in town that might be slightly or maybe quite a lot illegal.
Oh, I will certainly take advantage of that for my writing career. This seems like quite a fortuitous and perhaps long-lasting relationship.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. No, you definitely get the sense that if you wanted to know how sort of things really worked, if that was something that would be interesting for your novel, he would be an excellent source of how this sort of thing might happen.
That's great.
And, he seems to have a well-defined character onto himself, perhaps with a slight sawing off of the edges and whatnot,
He might show up.
He might show up in one of your books. Or if you were to write, say, the Maltese Falcon or something, he might show
up. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe when I talk to some of these other authors that I know and I suggest a character to them.
All right. Randall, are you any further in your character development?
Yeah, Randall.
I'm rolling the stats.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Rolling stats.
Wow, what a weird thing.
Cool. Roger, anything you're up to?
He's a hunter. His name is... Bean Banks.
Having convinced Mr. Banks to go into the subway and follow up on Mr. Keller's reports, no, I think my job here is done.
Will you be going with him into the subway?
Oh, dear God, no.
Maybe but this is not a task that I should take on myself. We'll wait for other members of this fine club. Join us.
I apologize, sir. I had understood you to be a bracing man of adventure. But if you do wish for the help for the, if you're not able to accomplish it yourself and you need the assistance of Mr. Nichols, I'm sure you know Mr. Nichols, perhaps Miss Throckmorton.
Rogers Hitlin.
Just the thing to take a lady into.
I'll see. Are they around right now? Those names don't ring any bells.
I'm sure they'll be back at any moment.
All right. So let's wait for them and see if they want to join us. Sounds very, very exciting.
All right. Just for the kicks, why don't you, I assume you're spending the afternoon sort of lazily hanging around, why don't you each give me library use rolls?
Oh, Who?
This would be Roger and okay. And the new Bean Banks. Bean, you said, like, is in a B-E-A-N?
No, Dean.
Oh, Dean. Dean, that makes much more sense.
Mm. Oh.
Roger does not do book study, so no. Yeah. Fascinating.
And no, I'm happy here with Gene. Pardon me. 39, so too high okay. for what I was going to allocate to library use for this character.
That makes sense. All right. So that's that team. The rest of you, what are you up to next?
We have to go talk to the Gear Brothers.
What time is it? Should we go back to the club? Should we?
I'll be around 3 or so by the time you've gotten from point A to point B and hung around point A for a while. And yeah.
That day is pretty long. Even for November.
Yes. Well, I think we should go visit these brothers or get some others with us.
I think Oswald, I think we'll need somebody. Sounds like they're shady characters.
Mm.
Shady characters everywhere. But yes, higher percentage of likelihood.
I'm sorry, what is the plan?
We're going to go to the Gear Brothers and...
And I feel like we're going to... I think your approach was quite perfect, that we're not after them. We're really just trying to understand who has this other item.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think they're often not ashamed of the crime, just...
Well, they wouldn't want to get caught, certainly.
Right. You know, take pride in your work, but they're not the real criminals.
No. Very good.
All right. They live, you get to their house. It's in a squalid part of the Channing Cross area of London. Back street. Make your way through the hallways, you definitely stand out. Perhaps Oswald might be more in tune with the overall thing, but Maud and Agatha are definitely not. You make your way up to the apartment door.
Excellent. Are you coming in with us?
Oh, please do.
The door cracks open a bit. It's not a chain or anything, but just kind of, hello, what who are you?
We're looking for the Gear Brothers, please.
Well, they're not home.
Well, it might be worth it for them to be home.
I don't know what you mean. They're not here.
Let me roll my psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, that's pretty not good.
I'll roll my psychology as well, which is not likely but possible. 27, no.
Yeah, I got an 89.
When would you expect them back?
Oh, I don't know.
Who are you, if I may ask?
Well, I'm their mother.
Oh.
Oh, well, we're looking to employ them.
Yes.
I hand her my card.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I'll let them know you came by.
It
thank you.
Would be worth their while.
Okay. Can you all give me listen rolls?
Sure. Hopefully. Ooh, that's a...
No.
Hard success.
Where did I put my dice that I just had?
Is that a find hidden kind of roll that you need?
listen, 61... No, that's a fail.
All right. She takes the card and she's...
So I didn't have a hard success. I don't know.
Oh, I know. I know.
Okay. Yeah.
She starts to close the door and you hear a voice inside. It sounds to be a male's voice, adult male voice say, Naboo! Naboo!
I will hold the door open since that's, I guess I hear it.
I'm sorry, you need to go away.
No, I'm afraid we need to come in. Your son is having some serious trouble with the seal of Naboo, and you're not going to be able to fix it. I'm afraid it is up to us.
The other two of you clearly can hear a Naboo, Naboo.
You're in great danger, my lady.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really am, and I'm going to force my way through the door and yes. try to not knock her over too bad. I'm gonna try and push her out of the way gently because I'm hoping that I can overpower her, but I don't want to hurt her.
Uh huh. Well, why don't you give me a strength roll to see how delicate you are? It's not a problem to push open the door on this lady, but see how delicate you do it just a little bit more.
87 is a failure.
Yeah, no, it's.
It's not a fumble.
It's not a fumble. So she definitely gets pushed back a little bit. There's some, you can hear her, you can push the door and she's thrown back a little bit and hits a little table. Doesn't fall over or anything. Doesn't die or anything fun like that. as you sort of break into this small apartment, you can see that there's a couple of doors off to the side. There's a kitchen type area. There's a chair by the window. There's a blonde haired young man, maybe about 20 or so, sitting in the chair. He is pale and one of his eyes has sort of this black mark around it. And he's every now and then you see him just going, and he's this look of happiness, of innocence on his face when he says, Naboo! Naboo! From one of the side rooms, pops out a tough-looking man, maybe a little, look definitely this guy, this other guy's brother, the same blonde hair, same blue eyes, very similar in appearance. He's looks to be a tradesperson, maybe. He's got his arm is looks a little bit. He's got one of his sleeves is rolled up, and you can see there's a bandage on his arm. And he looks at, hey, you! What are you doing? What are you doing breaking into my house like this?
How long has your brother been?
Yeah. I'll pull out a gun and I'll say, don't do anything crazy. We just have some questions.
Give me a persuade or intimidate or
both of our safety. This is for both of our safety. Let's see, what's intimidate? Intimidate's 15 and persuade is 10. So I think we'll go with intimidate. 67 is going to be a no.
Yeah. He pulls out a knife. You can't just go breaking into people's houses like this. Get out of here.
Gentlemen, please stop.
I'll holster my gun, put up my hands and be like, look, man, we just want to talk.
He keeps his knife out, but the blade tip dips a bit. Still ready for action if need be, but not as aggressive as it was.
We want to help your brother.
Yes.
How do you know my brother?
Well, he obviously knows Naboo, and if he does, then you need our help. Unless you want him to just be like this forever.
Yes, you obviously accidentally touched something while you were at the museum, and
you know we were at the museum.
We know a lot.
Went for
can we sit?
The mother sort of gets near to Thomas. We should listen to them. They seem to know something.
Perhaps we could make some tea.
We gotta help Milt. Agatha spent the next 3 hours in just peeing a lot. Go ahead and give me your charm roll.
Apparently I'm a little less charming at the moment.
Nobody needs to sit down. Just tell me what you know about what happened to my brother.
Yeah. Well, it's not a short story.
Did you pass along the stone piece? Or do you still have it?
We don't have it. We don't have anything here. It's stolen.
Did
you give it to the person who asked you to procure it?
We did. And then the bastard did this to my brother.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Who hired us?
Yes.
A guy named Edwin Alphenstone.
Can't trust anyone with that name.
But he's not the one. He's not the one who did this to my brother.
Oh.
No, this is fancy guy. Fancy guy.
Catman?
No, it's just he reaches over and into a bookcase and sort of slide between two books, pulls out a piece of paper and says, yeah, fancy guy sent us an invitation to his house.
Is it Delgado's?
The notes.
Boys, Delgado, which is very good. It's Elphinstone with an E. Got it. Okay.
It's Edwin Elphinstone, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I heard Edwin Elphinstone with an A, so I was confused with the E.
Yeah,
I did too.
Mr. Delgado again. I'm not surprised that he has done this to your brother. And thoroughly untrustworthy
sort. Went to his house expecting to get maybe a little bit of a extra reward, and this guy's servants grabbed onto us, and I managed to get out, but I left Milton behind, and I went back the next day, and this is all there was of him.
Oh, it's horrible! It's horrible.
Just keep saying that same word all day. Naboo, Naboo. Yeah,
Naboo, yes.
Same thing the servants kept saying.
Oh, at Delgado's.
Yeah.
All of them, wow. Yeah. Well, how there's a little bit of a mystical nature to all of this.
But we know a good alienist.
Yes, I believe he can be recovered.
Oh, that would be something. I'd do anything I could to help you.
So, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think really you've done what you can, which is to let us know that this Mr. Delgado has this seal. That's really what we were interested in, and I think he will get his comeuppance, and we can probably send you somebody to help with your brother.
That would be greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated. All right, but just to be clear, Delgado is just the one who did this to my brother, but he's not the one who hired us.
Right. Elphinstone hired you.
Yeah.
Delgado did this.
This Elphinstone, we don't recognize the name. I feel like I've heard it before, but maybe not. He's obviously using Delgado's stationery, so. What did this Delgado do? What did you notice him doing when your brother and you were attacked?
He wasn't actually even there.
Elphinstone, Delgado was not there?
Neither one of them was there. We got invited in by the servants. We got inside, and all of a sudden the servants just started reaching for us.
Oh, so when you gave the seal to Elphinstone, is that true?
Yeah.
And where did that happen? Do you know where Mr. Elphinstone lives?
We gave it to him at a local pub. And
I'm going to learn all the pubs in London.
Yeah, but let me see. Let's see. Oh, you know, I think I do have one of his cards, though.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
And he pulls out a card for you. Edwin Elphinstone.
Psychic healer. Oh, perfect. I will definitely send Roger to talk to him.
Oh, yes.
He'll get along most famously, I'm sure.
Clairvoyant. Maybe he can talk to one of our former compatriots.
Fascinating. Yes, well, thank you. Perhaps give you a little something for your troubles.
You take care of my brother, that's all I ask.
Yes, a large man will be in contact.
And as we're leaving, I'll say to Maud, I was actually thinking that Children of Tranquility might be able to help, but you're right, perhaps Roger can be of some use.
I would rather go the mundane route first.
Yes, no, I think you have a very good head on your shoulders, as always.
I'm just following your lead.
Yeah. Wow.
You were masterful. Compliments all around.
Of course, you're welcome.
That's a very fine door opening.
Hey, no one died.
No, I'm
sorry. Or got shot.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, it was an easy choice. It was like, okay, I'm sorry, little old lady. I'm not going to hurt people. You're not going to stop me.
You're not going to stop us. I believe we have followed this this chain quite well, but it's not over yet.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to Roger and Dean.
See if you can get them down the tunnel finally.
No. Anthony, you went to bed.
You went home.
Okay.
Yeah. You went home.
Yeah. I mean, he's just gone through quite a traumatic. I don't think he wants to go down there straight away.
I did want to ask Mr. Banks. I understand that you are nervous about entering the underground by yourself, and was going to wait for some of my other compatriots to return. But I was wondering if perhaps you might know of someone else in the club who might be of some use. And if we were sitting around the table, I would be looking over in Meredith's direction, wondering if... she wanted to jump in like on this action.
Get a cold look, and have you served, just out of curiosity, have you served in the military?
I should think not, sir, no.
Okay. So yes, I was deployed to Africa for quite some time, and I have learned that I need to rely on my comrades to do something. It's part of what you learn. So yes, actually, I do know some people here at the club could be of help. And I also look towards the table where a potential character might be sitting.
Where that potential character said she was going to be leaving.
Just
we'll awkward. Find out next session.
As we both look over to Meredith's empty seat at the table without realizing
that she was just there. she was just there. I don't know where he is right now.
Ben called.
She saw where this was going and wisely left.
Exactly. I'm not going down that tunnel.
Oh, no. Here we go again, that guy.
Perfect. So, Dean will get a sense of things aren't quite right with Roger. That's good. the rest of you, what is your plan?
Go back to the club?
I think back to the club. Yeah, I don't want to brace... I think I want to go back to the club and I'll discuss possibly talking to the Children of Tranquility to let them know that Elphinstone has the seal.
Yeah.
To me, that seems like the... and then that gives you, Sean, a week to figure out why they can't actually deal with it and we have to.
Oh, no, it's fine. Fine. I have that conversation. Yeah. I will say, though, that as you're all leaving the club, because I don't think anybody stays here, outside you see what you think is a vagrant. It's a guy and it just in a suit that just seems to be all sort of beaten up, and he's just sort of mumbling to himself. And
is he mumbling Naboo, Naboo, Naboo?
No. But as you get closer, you realize that it is Delgado.
Oh, dear.
He is shambling around in the... Every time you've seen him before, he's been immaculately dressed. He's got this suit that's all been torn and crumbled up. His eyes are sort of staring out. And as you sort of look at him in the darkness, there's lights out there, but there seems to be sort of a bluish glow around his left eye. And we will stop there.